Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 46. Genesis chapter 46. And we will be reading the first 12 verses of chapter 47 also. This is God's word. Israel set out with all that he had and came to Beersheba, and he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. That night God spoke to Israel in a vision. "Jacob, Jacob," he said. And Jacob replied, "Here I am." God said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you back. Joseph will close your eyes when you die." Jacob left Beersheba. The sons of Israel took their father Jacob in the wagons Pharaoh had sent to carry him, along with their dependents and their wives. They also took their cattle and possessions they had acquired in the land of Canaan. Then Jacob and all his offspring with him came to Egypt. His sons and grandsons, his daughters and granddaughters, indeed all his offspring, he brought with him to Egypt. These are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt: Jacob and his sons. Jacob firstborn, Reuben. Reuben's sons, Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. Simeon's sons, Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, son of a Canaanite woman. Levi's sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Judah's sons, Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. The sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. Issachar's sons, Tola, Puva, Jashub, and Shimron. Zebulun's sons, Sered, Elon, and Jalil. These were Leah's sons, born to Jacob in Padan Aram, as well as his daughter Dinah. The total number of persons, 33. Gad's sons, Ziphion, Haggi, Shuni, Esbon, Eri, Erodi, and Areli. Asher's sons, Imnah, Ishva, Ishvi, Beriah, and their sister Sarah. Beriah's sons were Heber and Malchiel. These were the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to his daughter Leah that she bore to Jacob, 16 persons. The sons of Jacob's wife Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. Manasseh and Ephraim were born to Joseph in the land of Egypt. They were born to him by Asnath, daughter of Potipharah, priest at On. Benjamin's sons, Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Mupim, Hupim, and Ard. These were Rachel's sons who were born to Jacob, 14 persons. Dan's son, Hushim, Naphtali's sons, Jaziel, Guni, Jezer, and Shillem. These were the sons of Bilhah, whom Laban gave to his daughter Rachel. She bore to Jacob 7 persons. The total number of persons belonging to Jacob, his direct descendants, not including the wives of Jacob's sons who came to Egypt, 66. And Joseph's sons who were born to him in Egypt, 2 persons. All those of Jacob's household who came to Egypt, 70 persons. Now Jacob had sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to prepare for his arrival at Goshen. When they came to the land of Goshen, Joseph hitched the horses to his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. Joseph presented himself to him, threw his arms around him, and wept for a long time. Then Israel said to Joseph, "I'm ready to die now, because I have seen your face and you are still alive." Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's family, I will go up and inform Pharaoh, telling him, my brothers and my father's family who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. The men are shepherds. They also raise livestock. They have brought their flocks and herds and all that they have. When Pharaoh addresses you and asks, what is your occupation? You are to say, your servants, both we and our fathers, have raised livestock from our youth until now. Then you will be allowed to settle in the land of Goshen, since all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. So Joseph went and informed Pharaoh, my father and my brothers with their flocks and herds and all that they own have come from the land of Canaan and are now in the land of Goshen. He took five of his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh asked his brothers, what is your occupation? They said to Pharaoh, your servants, both we and our fathers, are shepherds. And they said to Pharaoh, we have come to stay in the land for a while because there is no grazing land for your servants' sheep, since the famine in the land of Canaan has been severe. So now, please, let your servants settle in the land of Goshen. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, now that your father and brothers have come to you, the land of Egypt is open before you. Settle your father and brothers in the best part of the land. They can live in the land of Goshen. If you know any capable men among them, put them in charge of my livestock. Joseph then brought his father, Jacob, and presented him to Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, how many years have you lived? Jacob said to Pharaoh, my pilgrimage has lasted 130 years. My years have been few and hard, and they have not reached the years of my fathers during their pilgrimages. So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and departed from Pharaoh's presence. Then Joseph settled his father and brothers in the land of Egypt and gave them property in the best part of the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's family with food for their dependents. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
If you enjoy learning about biblical truths on abiding in Christ, you won't want to miss the opportunity to join Jim Wood as you journey to the land of the Bible, Israel. Preaching since he was only 15 years old, you can be sure that Jim is well prepared to share insights at each location you visit. Visit wvr.org/Israel to learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And Jacob was an old man. And he's starting out on a journey that had to be tremendously intimidating. The reason he lived where he lived was because God had promised to his grandfather, I'm going to give this land to you and your descendants. And so they settled in Canaan. Now they moved from place to place, but they knew this area here is going to belong to us and to our descendants, this is our land. This is land that God has set apart for us, a physical inheritance for his people. And so Jacob, who's been living there in that land, in the land of Canaan, and who for years prospered, is now, because of famine, having to go somewhere else. But God has prepared another place for him to go. God has a plan. Not everything that happens to us is good, but everything is for the good of those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Doesn't mean that, I fell downstairs, broke my arm. That's good. No, that's not good. That's bad. But it's going to be used for good. It's going to be used for good. It doesn't just happen to you, it happens for you. Okay? God is going to accomplish good even through what other folks do that's wrong. And this story is a picture of that. Well, how could a famine be good? Because that's what it took to get Jacob and all of his descendants down to Egypt. That's what it took. How could Joseph's imprisonment all those years and slavery for years, how could all of that be good? It was for the good, because through that, God would save his people. And now with their move to Egypt, God is setting the stage for generations later when they're going to be in slavery and God is going to deliver them. And it's going to be a picture that points to our bondage to sin and death and God delivering us through Jesus Christ, who is the Passover lamb. All the story was already written. God already knew what he was going to do. And folks, when you and I are experiencing difficult things, and all of us experience difficult things, we need to realize that God is up to something for our good. We may not understand what he's going to do or how he's going to do it, but we better know God is working for our good. So, as Jacob is leaving, when he came to Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. That night, God spoke to Israel in a vision, calling him by name, Jacob, Jacob, he said. And Jacob replied, here I am. God said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you back. Joseph will close your eyes when you die. Okay, now wait a minute. Does that mean I'm going to come back and then I'm going to die, or I'm going to die there? God doesn't say. God just says, I'm going to bring you back. Where did he die? He died in Egypt. We'll get there in a day or two. Okay? God already knew what was going to happen. God reassures him that Joseph, whom he's longing to see, is going to be with him at the end. But the fact of the matter is, God says, even though you're going down to Egypt, you're not going to stay there. I'm going to bring you back. Now, it's going to be a body, but God is saying, I'm going to take care of you. You don't have to be afraid. Do not be afraid. Why would it be frightening? Because he's an old man and he's having to leave everything that's familiar and go to a foreign country. He was having to go to a place for two reasons. Reason number one, he was out of food. They'd been having to send back and forth to get more food. The reason number two, the son he thought was dead is alive. And he's dying to see him. Now, the text doesn't tell us whether or not the brothers had fessed up about how Joseph got to Egypt. There's no indication. I'm guessing they didn't tell him. They were hoping no one would ask. Okay? Instead, they're hoping Dad's just going to focus on the good news. Joseph's alive. Okay? He hasn't seen Joseph yet. He's going to see him. But Joseph is alive. Let's hope we don't tell too many stories about how he got here. Okay? But imagine if you're Jacob and you find out, good news, Joseph is alive. Bad news, his brothers sold him into slavery and deceived you into thinking that he was killed. How would you feel, Dad, if your sons had done that to you? In the midst of all this, Jacob knows what he's got to do, but he's very nervous about doing it. And God appears to him and says, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. God doesn't say, if you try hard, if you work at it, if you do everything right, you'll become a great nation. God says, I will make you into a great nation there. That's a beautiful promise. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And that's one of the reasons that it's vitally important for us to understand that when they went down there, there were 70 persons in all. Okay? Because what's going to come up out of Egypt is going to be a nation. What went down there was a big family. And God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. A great nation. And guess what? He did. God did. So, I'll also bring you back. I'll go down with you. I'll also bring you back. And Joseph will close your eyes when you die. So they head down there. It's the whole family. And in verse 28, now Jacob had sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to prepare for his arrival at Goshen. Tell him I'm coming. All right? Get things ready. I got to have a place where I can sleep when I get there. It's going to be a journey. Thank God for this wagon to ride in. And so Joseph hitched up the horses to his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. Joseph presented himself to him, threw his arms around him, and wept for a long time. You know, sometimes we just need to cry. It's not wrong to cry. Jesus wept. It's okay. Do you understand?
Oh, that's a woman thing.
Jesus wept.
Okay. I guess it's all right.
It's okay. Now, let me tell you what's not okay. Whining. Grumbling. Murmuring. Complaining. Not okay. There are good reasons to cry, and there are bad reasons to cry, and there are different kinds of crying. Crying because you're insisting on your own way, not okay. Not okay. Tantrum crying, not okay. But crying, just weeping, tears flowing, as an expression of emotion, that is a legitimate and healthy thing. Quit trying to stifle it. Parents, don't stifle it in kids. Grown-ups, don't stifle it in yourself. And kids, don't stifle it in yourself either. Don't think in order to be a grown-up, you've got to stop crying. Is that clear? You need to be able to cry. It's healthy. It's biblical. Go ahead. Let the tears flow. Joseph wept for a long time. And it was okay. It was a beautiful thing. Then Israel said to Joseph, I'm ready to die now. That's kind of a... Now that I've seen you, I'm ready to die. I mean, that, for some of us, that's a little hard to put together. But you got to understand the context. What he's saying is, if nothing else good happens in my life, I am now satisfied. I am now a happy man. What he's saying is a statement of peace. I am fulfilled now that I have seen you. Flash forward to the New Testament. There's an old man who'd been assured by God that he would live until he saw the coming of Messiah. And when he sees the baby Jesus, he says, now I can go home. Because he recognized the fulfillment of God's promise. The longing that Jacob had to see Joseph again. He loved Joseph. And he longed to see him. And now that longing is fulfilled. It's a beautiful thing. So Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's family, I'll go up and inform Pharaoh, telling him, my brothers and my father's family who are in the land of Canaan have come to me. The men are shepherds. They also raise livestock. Now go to the last verse, the last phrase. Then you'll be allowed to settle in the land of Goshen since all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. He says, I'm just going to go ahead and tell him, all right? Joseph is the top dog, answerable only to Pharaoh in all the land of Egypt, and as far as the Egyptians are concerned, the most disgusting thing you can do for a living is to take care of animals, okay? I mean, that's just like the bottom of the heap. I mean, the rest of them were cosmetologists or something. I don't know what they were doing. If you look at the old pictures of the Egyptians, they have their eyes all painted and all this stuff. But to be a shepherd, that was just as low as you go, okay? It was detestable. Joseph says, I'm going to go tell Pharaoh that's what you do for a living. And when you come to meet him, he's going to ask you about what you do. I'll already tell him. He's going to ask you. Be sure you just tell him. We take care of livestock. Okay? That's what we do. It's who we are. So, sure enough, he goes and tells him. He doesn't take all the brothers with him. I thought that was interesting. It's like, okay, we got to go meet. I need for him to meet my brothers. You, you can come with me. The rest of you guys, just chill. He took some of his brothers to meet Pharaoh. And they went and they met. Pharaoh says, what do you do? They said, we look after livestock. We'd like to settle in Goshen. They'd already landed there. They already knew that was the plan. Pharaoh had already said they can settle wherever they want. So Pharaoh tells them, you're to have the best of the land. And they get the best pasture land. Okay? They got Kentucky bluegrass or its equivalent. It's great. It's wonderful. But then in comes the old man. Here comes Jacob. And Pharaoh says, how old are you? Okay. That's a question that you have kind of mixed feelings about as you age. All right. He says, 130. My life has been short and hard. Most of us would say 130 is getting on up there. Okay. But he says, it's not as old as my ancestors lived to be. Well, no, I mean, the guy's descended from people who lived hundreds of years. But God had shortened the days. God had shortened the length of time. And let me tell you something. This I can say from experience. If he had lived 150 years, he would have still felt like it was short. You have no idea how fast your life is going to go by. You just have no idea. You can't imagine it. I had old people telling me that when I was your age, and I thought, yeah. Billy Graham said one of the main lessons, one of the biggest surprises of his life was how quickly it all went by. I mean, every year seems shorter. It is like a snowball rolling downhill. Okay? It just gains momentum. And you and I need to learn when we see an old man standing before Pharaoh and at the age of 130 saying his life was short, we better make the most of our days. You and I don't know how much time we've got, but I'll tell you this, you need to make the most of what you got. And life can be hard. Anybody who thinks Jacob didn't have a hard life needs to go back and read the book of Genesis again. He was God's chosen instrument. Yes, and he had a hard life. Life can be very, very difficult. That's not a reason to give up. You do what God tells you to do. You trust in him. Because this man's story was not over yet. He had to move in old age to a foreign country because that was part of God's plan. But moving wasn't the last thing he did. There's more to come.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.